Tonight we are in Isaiah 11. We saw last week in the first 9 verses God describing His wonderful kingdom that is yet to come, the millennial kingdom. And what a wonderful kingdom it will be. In that passage, talked about Jesus' perfect rule and that it will be perfect justice, perfect conditions, perfect peace, perfect knowledge. And then from there, God goes on to describe this time as a time of rest. But what's interesting is He actually mentions the Gentiles, even way back in Isaiah. Praise God for that, because as far as I know, everybody in this room is a Gentile. Notice verse 10, He says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them in the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. With his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." So tonight I'd like to talk about this glorious rest that God mentions here. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts and just to grow us and bless us tonight through it. Give us a sweet time in your word this evening. And Lord, we ask that you would be in control of this service, and that, Lord, we would leave changed by your word. We love you. We give this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's exciting because in talking about the time of the kingdom that's coming, God mentions the Gentiles and the Jews alike. And how many times have we mentioned that it is a Jewish kingdom, but that the Gentiles get to be a part of it? God talks about us being grafted in the book of Romans, chapters 10 and 11. But this verse 10 that we see here in Isaiah 11 is actually quoted in the book of Romans. If we go to there, Romans chapter 15. And again, Paul here in Romans, a big portion of Romans is written to the Jewish people and talks about his burden for the Jewish people. But here in chapter 15, he reminds the rest of us that are not Jews that we have an opportunity to be there as well. Notice Romans 15:12. "And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust." Well, praise the Lord for that. If you'll remember, when the Jews were first sent out, when the disciples were first sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ, in the early part of his ministry, when they were preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Jesus specifically said, "Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It wasn't until Israel then began to reject the message, reject Jesus as their Messiah, that things began to change. And it really wasn't until the book of Acts, with Peter and Cornelius, and then of course the Apostle Paul, that these Jewish converts began to realize, oh, Gentiles can be saved too. Gentiles can find Jesus too. Because up to that point, most of them believed that it was a Jewish thing. And of course, Jesus Christ was the Jewish Messiah. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Jewish prophecies. And so they were surprised. You know, when Peter led Cornelius and his family to the Lord, he was initially rebuked by the other disciples for spending time with Gentiles. Remember what happened at the woman at the well? The disciples were shocked that Jesus would actually talk to this woman who was a Samaritan. And that was their attitude. But of course, Paul changed that attitude and became the apostle to the Gentiles. But here in Romans 15, he quotes Isaiah as an encouragement to the Gentiles, from the apostle to the Gentiles, that we get to take part in this wonderful, glorious time of rest as well. Now, if you would, turn to Matthew 12, while we're in the New Testament, and verse 21. And again, we'll see a reference to the Gentiles finding Christ. Now, Jesus here is quoting, the Bible's quoting Isaiah. Look at verse 17. It might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying. Then he goes on to talk about Jesus in verse 18. Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So even in the book of Matthew, toward the end of Jesus' ministry, he began to point forward and say, there's going to come a time, gentlemen, when it's going to be about the Gentiles. Well, we're in that time. We're in the church age. And of the people that are born again on the earth today, what percentage do you think are Jews? I guarantee it's less than 1%. It's about the Gentiles. And praise God for that, because none of us would be sitting here if that weren't the case. Praise God for Paul that decided to branch out from these closed-minded other disciples and say, the Gentiles need to know about Jesus too. And he began to go from city to city to city and win people and plant churches. And we know the rest of the story. And most of these churches that we read about, Corinth, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Gentiles. Praise the Lord for that. So one more place to look at, Micah chapter 4, if you would. In talking about this root coming out of Jesse, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a descendant, physical descendant of Jesse and David. Jesse was David's father. The Bible says he will be an ensign of the people. And notice here in Micah chapter 4, we are reminded in verses 1 and 2 that it will be all about Jesus' rule and reign. Notice verse 1. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Notice, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So let's never forget it's a Jewish kingdom with a Jewish king. But praise God, the Gentiles are allowed to be there. And we get to partake in this rest. Back in our passage in Isaiah 11, he talks about the root of Jesse, about the Gentiles seeking him. And then it says, verse 10, and his rest shall be glorious. You know, when we think about the word rest, we usually think about heaven. But it includes the kingdom. It is a time of, well, we saw last week when we looked in the first part of the chapter, it's a wonderful time. The curse is removed, the unredeemed, or not unredeemed, but the humans without new bodies live longer, the sickness is gone, perfect justice. It's a great time. And we get to live and rule and reign with Jesus Christ for those 1,000 years, as we read there in Revelation chapter 20. And it is a time of rest for us, of no more curse, no more for us, no more sickness, no more of those kind of issues. And the Bible talks about it. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, and he mentions this rest. Now, Hebrews, we don't have to wonder who this book was written to. But this passage here in Hebrews 4, notice what he says. Verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief," and so forth. So the Bible says there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Right now, are we told to rest? No. We're told to work. Work, for the night is coming. We're told, be abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're told to be working, working, working for Jesus. And in God's calendar, it's a short time. 50 years, whatever it might be, it's a short time compared to eternity. A time of eternal rest with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that rest is referred to here in Isaiah 11 as a glorious rest. Look, if you would, at Revelation 14. Again, we'll read about this time of rest for the Gentiles and the Jews. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. The Bible says, Revelation 14, 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." It's actually pronouncing a blessing upon the people that are going to die in the tribulation period, standing for Jesus, standing for their faith. And God says, blessed are them, because they get to rest from their labors. We're told to labor. They'll be told to labor for the Lord. He's saying, blessed are those who die, because the labor's done. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, work, for the night is coming, for the night cometh when no man can work, in John chapter 9. He was telling us, once we die, it's done. We've served the Lord as much as we can. We've done what we can, and it's done. We get to enter into that time of rest with the Lord. So back to our passage, Isaiah 11, we see that the Gentiles get to participate in this glorious time of rest. And then, of course, so do the Jews. Notice verse 11. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people." The remnant of his people, the Jews. Notice back in chapter 10, where we looked at a couple weeks ago, down in verse 20. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped to the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness." In those three verses, the word remnant's there four times. As we've studied prophecy in the Sunday school class, we looked through those 1,000 verses. I wonder how many times we saw the word remnant. And so the remnant is also going to be in that glorious time of rest. Who is the remnant? The Jews that survive. Because there will always be Jews that survive. There will always be a remnant. And keep your place here and look at Romans chapter 9. And Paul again talks about this remnant. So Paul addresses both the Gentiles and the Jews in his epistle to the Romans. Why is that? Well, Rome was a Gentile city. The church at Rome would have been primarily a Gentile church, but there would have been Jews as well. And Paul's never lost his burden for his people, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Notice he said here in Romans 9:27, "Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant shall be saved. You know, I know you've heard me say this, but just this survivability of the Israelites is one of the greatest proofs of the Bible. The fact that they're still here. There's that passage, you know, where Balak hired Balaam to try to curse Israel, and every time he opened his mouth to curse Israel, he blessed him instead. And he looked out and saw the Israelites and kept pronouncing blessings upon them, even though Balak had hired him to curse them. And at the very end of that last prophecy, he says, "What hath God wrought?" He talks about the preservation of his people. That was thousands of years ago. Well, what hath God wrought? Here we are, 2,000 years since the time of Christ. How many times has the devil tried to wipe out the Jews? Not just Hitler, but Titus, and you could look back through history, and over again, the devil's tried to wipe out the Jews. They're still here. There will always be a remnant. And they're going to go into the tribulation period. They're going to be primarily the ones that'll be chastised, and yet at the end of the tribulation period, as we just read in Romans, there will be a remnant that will be saved and will go into the kingdom, and we get to go with them and share in this rest. Back in our passage 11, down to verse 12, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah," I like this, "from the four corners of the earth." Well, they are right now. They're dispersed. They're everywhere. There are Jewish people all around the world. God's going to bring them all back from the four corners of the earth, reinstall them in their land, and there will be a remnant, and we get to join them. I've often pondered one of those questions we can ask God. What percentage of the kingdom, initial kingdom population, are Jews, and what percentage are Gentiles? You know, when you think about it. Because there really aren't that many Jews right now in the world. And a lot of them are going to die in the tribulation period. So, and yet we're all going to be there. We come back with Jesus and get to rule and reign with Christ. It just makes you stop and think, well, how many are going to be Gentiles? How many are going to be people in new bodies? And how many are going to be Jews? The Bible doesn't tell us. So don't ask that question. Don't put it in the box. But anyway, go to Ezekiel chapter 6. And we'll see here that God again promises that this remnant will be regathered and reinstilled into their land for this time of glorious rest to which the Gentiles get to participate. Notice Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 8. God says, "Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when ye shall be scattered through the countries." And then go to the book of James, of all places. Go to James chapter 1. I wonder how many times when we read James, we notice this statement in the first verse of James. Look who the book was written to. James 1:1. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." Scattered abroad. So even in the times of the writing of the New Testament, the Jews were already scattered abroad, because they'd already been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and then other kings earlier than that. They'd already been, Jerusalem had already been attacked many times. People have been taken many times. And so, but when James wrote his epistle, he said, "I'm writing this epistle to all you Jews, wherever you are, that are scattered abroad." Basically, don't give up. God still loves you. God hasn't forgotten you. And God will, as we read here, gather you that are dispersed from the four corners of the earth and allow you to enter into that time of glorious rest. And we get to go as well. That's all good news. But, you know, now it's our responsibility to tell others. Because most people don't know this good news. That they can be at that time of glorious rest, because what's the alternative? Well, if they die before the rapture, they go to hell. If they live after the rapture, they're going to enter in the tribulation period, and they'll probably die and go to hell. There's a slight chance they might get saved, but it's slim. So what's the solution? It's the same solution we found. Somebody told us. There's an answer to our sin problem. There's an answer to the condemnation that we are under, and that's Jesus Christ. So we need to tell as many as we can so that they also can participate and enjoy that glorious, not just a rest, but a glorious rest. And imagine 1,000 years in a perfect body, living on a basically perfect earth. Can't even imagine what that'll be like. You can just, the Bible says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." I mean, I can imagine there'll be trout streams everywhere, but I could be wrong. But it will be glorious, the time of the kingdom. And if you're born again tonight, you get to be there. But let's tell others so they can be there too. And enjoy and participate in this time of glorious rest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this.